Okay, let's unpack this. You've handed us a really intriguing stack of material for this deep dive.
It's quite a collection, isn't it? Feels like different universes sometimes.
Totally. On one side, we have this, well, deep dive into psychology and science concepts from a 2002 encyclopedia. Very factual, very structured.
Right. Explanations of, the collective unconscious sensory memory experiments like Sperling's, digital logic, how GPS works, library systems, the nuts and bolts.
Exactly. That kind of objective, measured view of the world and the mind from, wow, over 20 years ago now.
And then woven right alongside it, you've got the work of Aquifer Ocean Duran, a contemporary artist, choreographer, website posts, writings, even an ethical media creation manual dated up to 2025.
Yeah, and Duran's work is exploring things like creation as a divine choreography, finding truth within the Holy Spirit, parables, the power of sound.
And connecting really personal details, birth dates, area codes to these bigger cosmic or biblical narratives. Very different feel.
So our mission today, it's not about finding direct factual links, is it? That seems unlikely.
No, exactly. These sources operate in different realms. What we're looking for are the subjective parallels. How do they touch on similar interests or ideas, especially around concepts like a collective understanding or maybe a structured reality?
Right. How does Duran seem to, I don't know, bridge these different concepts and even these different time periods, the 2002 source and the up to 2025 material?
And importantly, what insights might this offer you, the listener, for thinking about spiritual and scientific ideas together today?
Okay. And then finally, we need to look at that ethical media creation manual you shared. See how it fits in, maybe as a tool that comes out of this blended view.
Sounds like a plan. It gets really interesting when you start looking closely.
You wouldn't immediately think a 2002 encyclopedia and a modern artist's website would, resonate. But there are these striking parallel interests that pop up.
Definitely. Let's start with the idea of some kind of shared, maybe foundational human experience or understanding.
Okay. Where do we see that?
Well, the psychology source talks about the collective unconscious, Carl Jung's idea, right?
Right. Not just personal memories, but something deeper.
Exactly. It's described as this kind of universal reservoir of humanity's shared experiences, instincts, containing what Jung called archetypes.
Archetypes, like the mother figure, the hero, the wise old man,
Yeah.
things you see in myths everywhere.
Precisely. Universal patterns of thought, behavior. It's presented as this layer of shared human psychic structure that exists beneath our individual conscious minds, like a blueprint.
Okay, so a psychological concept of a deep shared human foundation. How does that connect, even subjectively, to what Duran is doing?
Well, what's fascinating is how Duran's framework seems to lean so heavily on what you might call the foundational human narrative, at least in a Western context, Genesis.
Adam and Eve.
Yes, but presented not just as historical figures, but almost as the original cast in a divine play. And this play, written by God, is described in a way that implies it tells your story too, through God's words.
Ah, I see. So it suggests a kind of universal shared narrative that everyone's life is somehow part of.
Exactly. So you have the psychological concept of a collective unconscious with universal archetypes.
And Rand's concept of a divine play, based on a foundational biblical story that's also universal, encompassing everyone.
Right. Both are pointing towards these deep, shared layers of human experience or story that exists like kind of beneath or beyond just our individual day-to-day conscious thoughts.
Whether you frame it psychologically or spiritually, it's about a foundational structure for understanding ourselves.
Precisely. Both suggest there's more going on than meets the eye, deeper shared patterns.
Okay, that's one strong parallel.
Yeah.
What else? We also see something about how we understand reality itself,
Right.
about perspective.
Yes. The psychology text actually discusses point of view, specifically when talking about understanding things like parables.
Interesting. What does it say?
It notes that the common phrase, seeing is believing, can actually be a bit of a trap, a harsh reality, because it often only allows for one strong, maybe superficial point of view.
Implying that a single viewpoint might not be enough for real understanding.
Exactly. It raises that question. And Duran's work seems to pick right up on that limitation.
How so?
Duran suggests that really understanding parables and finding truth more generally actually requires using several views to look at one single view.
Using several views to look at one view. What does that actually mean in Duran's context?
It seems to be about integration, maybe blending the rational and the spiritual, or seeing something from multiple angles at once. Duran connects this to bridging the natural self and the spiritual self through something called wisdom of strength.
So the key parallel here is
the shared idea that moving beyond a single, rigid, surface-level view is essential for deeper understanding. Both sources, in their own ways, point out the limits of just one perspective when you're trying to grasp complex realities.
That's powerful. Don't get stuck in just one way of seeing.
Okay.
Now let's shift gears a bit. Something that feels quite different initially, but maybe isn't. Structured systems. The psychology source is full of them.
Oh, absolutely. It lays out computer processing architecture, for instance. That whole sequence. Retrieve, decode, fetch, perform, save. Very logical. Very step-by-step.
And the digital logic gates, too.
Yep. Or AND, not NOR gates. Making true-false decisions based on Boolean algebra. Building complex logic from simple binary choices.
You also see it in things like geodesic surveys, mapping, the incredible precision of GPS coordinates, down to centimeters sometimes.
And even how we organize knowledge, library systems like Dewey Decimal or Library of Congress attempting to classify all human knowledge into these ordered numerical or alphabetical systems and subsystems. It's all about structure, order, precision.
So that 2002 source really paints a picture of the world, technology, and information being governed by these precise, logical, structured systems. How on earth does that parallel Durand's more spiritual, artistic view?
Well, if you look at the overarching themes in Durand's work, you see this fascinating subjective parallel. Durand talks about creation itself, including personal identity, the biblical narrative as a divine choreography.
A choreography, like planned movements, a structure.
Exactly. Described as a structured design gathered from the nature of Durand's knowledge of how the Holy Spirit now exists in the present tongue. Durand even uses musical terms, melody, harmony, timbre, to describe parts of this divine design.
And you mentioned numbers earlier. Durand gives numbers specific symbolic weight.
Yes, numbers aren't just random. They seem to hold specific meanings within this divine structure, emphasizing an ordered approach. And get this. The idea of God's word being like an equation or a formula actually appears in Durand's writing.
Wow. So it's like applying a framework of design, precision, structured process, things we see in the scientific descriptions, onto the spiritual realm,
yeah.
Onto existence itself.
Precisely. It's viewing the spiritual world and creation through a lens that appreciates inherent structure and design, much like the scientific source describes physical systems and information through that structured lens, a subjective mirroring of that interest in ordered systems.
Okay, that's a compelling connection. What about sound and vibration? That seems to pop up too.
It does. The 2002 psychologies.pdf mentions auditory sensory memory, echoic memory, that brief trace of sound in our minds.
And it touches on physics concepts like waves, right? For understanding radar, radio signals for GPS.
Exactly. The physical properties of sound and signals as waves. Then you jump to Durand's OceanDurand.com blog, and you find posts explicitly titled things like The Power of Sound, How Frequencies Shape Our Understanding, or The Science Behind Spoken Words and Their Energetic Vibration.
So Durand isn't just talking about sound as communication, but as carrying energy. Frequencies.
Viewing spoken words as having specific vibrational frequencies that can actually affect our internal state, our surroundings. It's a more metaphysical take on the power inherent in sound and words.
So the parallel is the focus on sound and vibration itself, but from different angles, one scientific, one metaphysical.
Exactly. The science source describes the physical mechanisms, waves, sensory processing. Durand explores the perceived spiritual effect and power connected to those same underlying concepts of sound, vibration, the word, or divine song. It's a unique bridge, finding significance in the same phenomenon through different lenses.
Okay, so let's try and pull this all together. What does it mean? It seems like Ogrifer Ocean Durand is taking threads from potentially quite different areas.
Right. Foundational psychological ideas, scientific principles about systems and measurement, timeless biblical narratives, spiritual insights.
And weaving them into a personal, coherent framework.
That's what it looks like. By framing creation, identity, experience, even the Bible story, as this divine choreography or play with an underlying design, Durand offers a subjective way to see how these disparate elements connect.
Suggesting there's an underlying structure or order that shows up across different levels of reality. An order understood through both spirit and maybe an appreciation for the kind of structured thinking found in that older science text.
I think that's a good way to put it. It creates a framework where personal details, like your birth date or area code, aren't just random data points. They become potentially meaningful notes in this larger divine song.
And figures like Adam and Eve become key cast members in this ongoing play, connecting your individual life to that universal narrative, a narrative informed by spiritual insight, but also echoing these principles of structure and order found elsewhere.
And this blending, this synthesis drawing from both spiritual ideas and this almost systems logic perspective from the older source. It feels surprisingly relevant today, doesn't it?
How so? What's the application?
Well, think about the world we live in. Information overload, conflicting narratives everywhere, science advancing incredibly fast, deep spiritual questions. It can be overwhelming.
Definitely.
Duran's approach, as we see it in these sources, seems to offer a way to find some grounding. It emphasizes looking within, connecting with what Duran calls the godly image within you.
Connecting internal truth to external reality and this perceived divine structure.
Exactly. And it strongly reinforces that point about needing multiple viewpoints we talked about earlier.
Right. Not getting stuck in one perspective.
Yeah. It encourages embracing contrasts, seeing different angles, not just as problems or conflicts, but as opportunities for self-discovery, for finding a guided path, rather than being stuck in that rigid seeing is believing mode. It's about finding understanding from a deeper internal spiritual place.
Okay, that makes sense. Which leads us nicely to the Ethical Media Creation Manual. You said it's presented as a practical tool.
It is, rooted very explicitly in love, God, and love neighbor. It really feels like a direct application of this whole blended framework we've been discussing.
It mentions citing studies. What does that likely refer to in Duran's context?
Given the rest of the work, studies probably implicitly includes the biblical narratives Duran draws on, maybe even nods to the psychological or structural concepts that inform the worldview, not just formal academic studies.
And its goal is stated as proving an ontological recourse.
Yeah.
Okay, ontology. That's the philosophical study of being, of existence itself, right?
Mm-hmm. Precisely. What it means to be.
So an ontological recourse is like having a way to refer back to the fundamental nature of existence for guidance, a resource grounded in being itself.
That's exactly how it reads. By grounding ethical media creation in this blended understanding our spiritual identity created in God's image, likeness to God, and this view of reality as having a structured divine design, the manual offers this recourse.
A resource based on the fundamental nature of being, as Duran interprets it, to guide ethical action, specifically in media creation.
Yes. It suggests the ethical path is aligning your creative work with this inherent, divinely structured reality in your own spiritual core. It's a way to navigate the tough spots, the problematic situations in creative work, not just by external rules, but from this deep internal spiritual understanding.
So it's an ethics framework grounded in the very fabric of existence, interpreted through this unique lens, combining ancient wisdom, personal insight, and maybe echoes of modern structural thinking, bridging those time gaps.
Exactly. It's a call to create from that place of likeness to God, guided by inner truth and this bigger picture, this play or song of existence, using the synthesis as the foundation for doing ethics.
So wrapping up this deep dive, What have we really seen? We've traced how sources from quite different times and fields that 2002 Encyclopedia and Duran's contemporary work up to 2025 show these surprising subjective parallels.
Yeah, particularly around ideas of shared consciousness, the importance of multiple perspectives for real understanding, and seeing structured systems in both scientific descriptions and spiritual interpretations of reality.
We explored how Duran seems to weave together biblical stories, spiritual insights, personal identity, and concepts that echo scientific structures into this unique idea of a choreography of creation.
And this blended view, developed across these different time periods, bridging science and spirit in a unique way, offers a potential framework for navigating today's complexities, connecting inner truth with outer reality, seeking understanding through multiple views, getting beyond just one rigid perspective.
And that Ethical Media Creation Manual really emerges as a practical tool from all this, not just rules, but offering that ontological recourse, a way to ground ethical creation in the nature of being itself, viewed through this integrated lens.
It's about creating from your spiritual core, aligned with this perceived divine structure, guided by inner truth within the grand play.
So maybe the provocative thought for you, the listener, to take away today is this. If reality, spirituality, even our minds seem to hold these kinds of echoes and structures across different fields and times, How might looking for other unexpected parallels, maybe in completely different areas of your own life, unlock new levels of meaning and perhaps even new ethical insights for you?
Where else might those surprising connections be hiding?